Well, this coming Thursday, we'll be celebrating as a nation Thanksgiving Day. And surely kids have been learning all week long, or will be learning even this week, some details and facts about Thanksgiving Day. But President Abraham Lincoln was the one who made it an official holiday in 1863. And it originally was to be the last Thursday of November. But in 1939, President Roosevelt moved it up a week in order to lengthen the Christmas shopping season. He was hoping to spur some economic growth. Congress then passed a law on December 26, 1941, making the fourth Thursday of November Thanksgiving Day. They estimate in the U.S. that about 280 million turkeys are sold each year. They say that comes out to the average American family eating somewhere between 16 to 18 pounds of turkey. That's a lot of turkey. But the idea of Thanksgiving didn't originate with the Pilgrims. Long before the Pilgrims ever landed at Plymouth Rock, God had already ordained for us to be thankful. But not as an event celebrated one day out of the year, but rather for it to be a lifestyle lived out 365 days of the year. See, more than just Thanksgiving Day, God wanted it to be thanksgiving. He wanted us to live a life of thankfulness. And so this morning, I'm going to talk about the power of thanksgiving. And our passage is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 16 through 18. Because when we begin to embrace thanksgiving, it is amazing how it unleashes in our life a power that literally changes our life. It empowers us to see things differently from just simply living a life of thankfulness. Now, we're going to talk about three changes that the power of thanksgiving makes to see how it will make a difference in how we live each day. So let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Paul writes, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, we have to note it does not say give thanks for all circumstances, but it does say give thanks in all circumstances because this is God's will for your life. Well, I hope you'll follow along with an outline, because one power that thanksgiving brings in our life, and write this down, is it changes how we see life. Thanksgiving changes how we view life. All of us would agree, life's difficult at times. I mean, there's times when life is just downright tough. The world in which we live is not a perfect place. It's filled with struggles, problems, pain. I mean, there's health issues, financial issues, relational issues, crime, war, poverty, disease. And if we're not careful, we can begin to allow the ugly side of life to kind of skew our perspective of life, allowing it to influence us inadvertently in how we see life. I mean, this is where cynicism and skepticism comes from. Because of the harshness of life, many become cynical or skeptical, causing them to not trust anyone, causing them to question everything. But the worst part about it is if it's left unchecked, it will eventually give birth to resentment. And resentment comes to be something very deep-seated within our being that becomes literally a poison that affects everything around us, to the point we even begin to resent life itself. But thanksgiving gives us an entirely different set of eyes through which to view life. As we cultivate an attitude of thankfulness, we begin to see the brighter side of life. It doesn't negate the ugly side, but it changes our focus. And in the process, begins to breathe more hope, more peace, even more joy into life, even though we still have to deal with the yuck of life. And here's why. I want you to write this down. Thanksgiving sharpens our vision to see the quiet and unimposing blessings of life. When we cultivate a lifestyle of thankfulness, we begin to see the many blessings in life. Because you know what, people? There are blessings all around us. There are blessings right in front of us. And there are blessings that have been there all along. We just didn't have the eyes to see it. We needed a different set of eyes, and thanksgiving gives us that different set of eyes through which to see life. I mean, when was the last time that you thanked God for a sunrise or a sunset? You know, it's amazing creation. God never intended for creation to be worshipped, but He did intend for creation to be enjoyed. And the way we enjoy creation is by thanking the Creator for His creation. Thanking Him even for the gift of eyesight. They can even behold His creation. When was the last time we thanked God that we have vision to see? Or recognizing the fact that we do have a roof over our head, even if it does leak from time to time. Food on our table. Clothes on our back. Even if they're not the latest style and fashion, so what? It's still from God, and it's reason to give thanks. Look at the verse here underneath that point from Daniel chapter 6. Let me give you some context here. There's some other administrators that are jealous of Daniel, and they want to try to get him trapped so they could kind of get him fired. They can't find anything wrong with the guy except for the fact he prays three times a day to his God. And so these jealous administrators go to King Darius and convince him to issue a decree that for 30 days you are to pray to no one but to Darius himself. And the punishment was literally the death penalty, because you would be thrown into a den of lions, if you know the story. Look at Daniel's response once the decree had been issued. Daniel 6:10 says, "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem, and three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before." Now, I have to ask, what in the world did Daniel have to be thankful for? I mean, first and foremost, he's a prisoner. He was taken against his will from his homeland to a strange land. He had to learn a whole new language. He even had a different name given to him. He had to learn a different culture. He's put into the service of a pagan king. And now here he is, in risk of death, being threatened to not pray to God. And yet, what does he do? He does what he always had done. He gives thanks to God. That's powerful. That was his lifestyle. He understood thanksgiving long before the pilgrims. Thanksgiving changes how we see life. A second change that thanksgiving brings, and write this down, thanksgiving changes how we see our life. It changes not just how we see life in general, but it changes how we see life in specific. And specifically, we're talking about our own personal life. You see, it's one thing to be cynical and skeptical about life in general, but it really is a whole different ballgame when we begin to be cynical and skeptical, even in relation to our own life. And what so many fail to understand is that their view of life will affect their view of their own life. The problem is we begin to feel this at a much, much deeper level. This is when people begin to start feeling overwhelmed by everything around them, feeling buried underneath all the weight of the junk of their life. And it hits at that emotional level where we feel it. We're not just aware of it, but we now feel it, and it presses on us to the point that we're not just looking at life's difficulties, we're now dealing with the effect of life's difficulties on us, like the effect of anxiety and fear, doubt, worry, uncertainty, insecurity, dread. Do you realize that all those things get created by the circumstances that we deal with in life? And it begins to affect how we view our life at that point. But again, thanksgiving gives us an entirely different set of eyes to even look at our own life. And I believe thanksgiving will change our perspective about our life in two very prominent and powerful ways, neither of which have anything to do with circumstances. The first is this, and write this down. We begin to recognize more what we already have. You see, so often when we're dealing with difficulties in life, things especially that were unexpected, we begin to think, well, if I just had this, if I could just do this, then I could take care of it. And what happens is we begin to focus on what we don't have. And when we focus on what we don't have, we can't see what we do have. Because we think we need something else, something more, something in addition. And so we're unaware of what we have in the moment. And again, you know, the truth is we all have more than we realize. We really do. But if we don't have eyes to see it, it sure won't feel like it. That's why a second very powerful result of thanksgiving, and write this down, is it begins to help us to even appreciate more what we already have. You know, we can become aware of what we have, but when we're, again, so focused on what we don't have, we end up devaluing what we do have. We can be aware of it, but we can begin to think it's not enough at that point. It's kind of like, on a humorous note, you know, getting a new car. You know, once you get it in your mind that you need a new car, I tell you, that old car just has all kinds of problems. Everything's wrong with it. You know how that is. And again, granted, some old cars will have some issues, but a lot of times, there are issues that can be fixed pretty easily, but we don't want to think that. We're focused on wanting the new car, failing to forget that that old car at one time was a new car that we'd been so thankful for. And now we're not as much anymore. We want something else, something new. You know, that's what advertising's all about. You know, the goal of advertising is to simply create dissatisfaction with what you have. That's all it is. Because it's trying to convince us we need something else, something new, something more in the process. While all along, we already have what we really, really need. We already have so much for which to be thankful, but we tend to not see it. Thanksgiving gives us eyes to see those things in our life and to not take those things for granted. I read about a 12-year-old boy who was born without an immune system, and he underwent a bone marrow transplant in order to help correct the deficiency. But up to that point in his life, he'd spent his entire life in a plastic bubble, and it was to prevent exposure to common germs, bacteria, viruses, you know, things that can get us down for a couple of days. Well, it could literally kill his life. He was asked what he was looking forward to if and when he was released from that protective bubble. And his first answer was, I want to walk barefoot on grass. And then his second answer was, and I want to touch my mother's hand. Boy, things that we can take for granted because it's right there for us. But when we cultivate a lifestyle of giving thanks, we don't take that for granted. We begin to value those little things, cherish those little things, and not take them for granted. Look at these verses, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul says, we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. Now, Paul's not speaking against having riches. What he's speaking against is the pursuit of riches. He said at that point, if this is what you think is the answer to what you need, something else, something more, he says you're opening yourself up to a lot of other issues in your life, a lot of destruction in your life. Look at the next verse. It's on the back side of your outline at the top, Philippians 4. Paul says, don't worry about anything. But he doesn't go on to just say, be happy, don't worry. He says, no, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Next time when you're pressed by issues that are legitimate needs in your life, God wants you to come to Him. God wants you to bring those things to Him. But next time, don't leave that time with God without first giving Him thanks. Just saying, God, thank you that you are God and that you've got this, even though I may not see it. That brings us to a third result that's probably the most powerful result of thanks living, and write this down. Thanks living changes how we see God. It changes how we see life, it changes how we see our own life, and it changes how we see God. See, what we fail to understand is there's kind of a snowball effect at work here. And if we don't stop it, just like that snowball, hypothetically speaking, it's going to get larger and it's going to gain momentum. And it's going to get bigger and go faster and faster, and it becomes harder to stop in the process. See, that's where when people allow life to make them cynical and skeptical, and they begin to take that same kind of view of their own life, it's a very short step to begin to see God with that same lens. To begin to be very cynical and very skeptical about God. See, this is when people begin to see God as the cause agent of all the bad things that happen in life, especially the bad things that happen in their life. And it really will lead people to one of two questions. Either they will question the reality of God, or they will question the goodness of God. In questioning the reality of God, they'll say, well, if God is really a God, then why did this happen? Why didn't He stop it? If He's God, why didn't He keep these bad things from happening? If they dare to give consent to their being a God, they then question His goodness, because it's not a question then of whether He could stop it. The question comes to be, why didn't He stop it? Does He not care? Isn't He supposed to be a loving God? If He's a loving God, why did this happen? You see, that's looking at God with the wrong set of eyes. And if you have those kind of eyes in looking at God, you'll never get an answer that will satisfy. But thanks living gives us an entirely different set of eyes through which to look at God. It changes our view of God. And I want you to write this down. This is when we begin to see the hand of God in the midst of things. But not in this, why is this happening way, but rather in this, how is God helping me way. You see, thanks living empowers us to see that regardless of what's happening, the hand of God is right there in the midst of it. And even though I don't understand, even though I don't know why this is happening, we begin to see that God is with me each step of the way. And we begin to realize that God never promised to keep us from difficulties, but hallelujah, He did promise to keep us during difficulties. That no matter what we go through, the hand of God is right there with us, even though we don't see it. See, this is when we begin to believe that God can bring something out of it that we can't understand. This is when we begin to realize that we can trust God, that He knows what He's doing, that He's got this under control, even though He's not given me the blueprint of it all. I can see Him at that point. Look at these verses. Psalm 73, and this is a powerful passage to memorize. The psalmist in Psalm 73 struggling. Because he sees the wicked prospering. And in essence, he sees the righteous suffering. And he's talking about his own life. Why is life so difficult? Why am I struggling here when I see these people over there who don't really care about God? They seem to be healthy. They seem to have things going their way. But look at the conclusion he comes to here. He says, yet I still belong to you. You are holding my right hand. You will keep on guiding me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. And then I love his question here. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail, my spirit may grow weak, but you, O God, remain the strength of my heart. You are mine forever. Well, what a confession. What an awakening. What a vision. To have eyes that see God in this fashion, no matter what's going on around. Look at the next verse, Psalm 75. We thank you, O God. We give thanks because you are near. And then Romans 8:28, a verse I know many times we have to claim, and we should. It's a promise. But it says here that we know. This is not something we have to hope or guess or wonder about. We know that God causes all things to work together for good. Now, we don't want to stop too soon because it's not saying that God causes all things. Now, granted, there are a lot of things that God causes. He doesn't cause it all. If he doesn't cause it, yes, God allowed it. But whether he caused it, whether he allowed it, it says there that he's going to bring something good out of it. And we can know that. Even though we don't know what that good is, even though we don't know when, and we don't know how, we can know God is going to bring something good out of this. But it clarifies to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, I think it means to those who keep that right view of God, who continue to see that his hand is at work even in the midst of my difficult situation. See, here's what it comes down to. In this passage, there's only one way that we can truly live a life of thankfulness. There's only one reason why we can truly let thanksgiving be our lifestyle. And it's the only reason why in this passage in 1 Thessalonians that it's in a command. The Greek text there, when it says give thanks, is in the imperative mode, which means it is a direct command, which means if you don't give thanks in all circumstances, you're disobeying God. That's why he says, that's my will for your life. You want to know what God's will is for your life? Give thanks in all circumstances. It doesn't get any clearer than that. But he lets us know how. Because on one hand, we're thinking, God, is that fair of you to ask this of us? I mean, God, we're going to go through things that's literally too much for us to handle. How can you expect this of us? Well, God knows we can do this because of one reason. And write this down. We can do this because of Jesus Christ. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You see, God does not expect this of people who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But he demands it of those who do know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because God knows that regardless of the circumstances, we can be thankful in those circumstances because of Jesus Christ. He's there with us in those circumstances. Look at these verses. Hebrews 13, through him, talking about Jesus, through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And then 2 Corinthians 9 says, thank God for his Son, a gift too wonderful for words. You know, it's sometimes we need to have this reality check. It's only because of Jesus Christ that I'm forgiven. It's only because of Jesus Christ that I don't have to make up for all my wrongs. I don't have to live under the guilt and the shame of my past. And I don't have to live under the grip of that past affecting my present and future. Why? Because I have been forgiven. Forgiven because of what Jesus did for me. It's because of Jesus Christ that I'm saved. Hallelujah. I don't have to live a life of defeat or confusion. I get to live a life of purpose and meaning and fulfillment because of Jesus Christ. I don't have to fear death and dying. I don't have to fear a real place called hell. I can live with the assurance that I know that my eternal destiny is going to be with Jesus forever in a real place called heaven. Now, I know we've got all kinds of ideas what heaven's going to be like, but it really doesn't matter, all those ideas. All that matters is this: Jesus is there, and that's enough. And I can know that. I can even know that because of Jesus Christ, I'm never alone. No matter what I go through, I am never truly alone. He's always with me to protect me. He's always with me to calm me, to comfort me, to guide me, to strengthen me, to empower me to live a life of thanks living, regardless of my circumstances. And so maybe you're here this morning, and I in no way have wanted to downplay what you may be dealing with in your life. You may be going through things right now in your life that's larger than life, but it's not larger than the God of life. And maybe this morning you're here because God wanted to help you refocus. Wanted to help you realize that there's some glasses you need to take off because those lens you're looking through is not helping you. And you need to put on the right set of glasses with lens that begins to see life, begins to see your life, that begins to see God very differently. To allow Him to be a source of hope and strength and comfort today as you continue to walk through your situation. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ into your life. Your whole life of thankfulness is going to be tied to your circumstances. If you have good circumstances, you're going to be thankful for that. But if things aren't going your way, then you have no reason to be thankful. But you can change that this morning yourself. You can change that by inviting Jesus Christ into your life. He only comes in through our personal invitation. He doesn't force His way. He doesn't manipulate us. He doesn't trick us. He waits for us to come to the place of saying, Jesus, I need You. And when we finally come to that place of saying, Jesus, I am sorry for trying to live without You. Sorry for basically trying to be my own God. Please forgive me. Please come into my life and save me. And that scripture, Romans 10:13, is so clear that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And this morning, your whole life of thankfulness can take a whole new trajectory by allowing Christ to be in your life. In a moment, we're going to stand to our feet and sing, and I'll be standing here in the front. If there's anyone that needs me to pray with you or to talk with you, I want to invite you to come. But this morning, challenge yourself to allow thanksgiving to become thanksgiving as a follower of Christ. After all, God does command it. Father, we thank You for this passage. We thank You for such simple words that Paul is instructing to the Christians in Thessalonica. And yet, sometimes those simple words are difficult to carry out. God, I pray for some this morning that may have allowed life to birth in them a cynicism or a skepticism. Father, I pray for some that have allowed resentment and even bitterness to take root in their heart. Father, You want to uproot that. You want to set them free from that. You want to give them a whole different set of eyes to see. So God, we entrust this time to You and pray that You'd have Your way with every heart and every life, that we would come to embrace a life of giving thanks. In Jesus' name I pray.